Title today is Walking with the Holy Spirit. What does that conjure up in your mind? What do you picture? Is there an image that comes to your mind when you think of walking with the Holy Spirit? What's it look like for you? As we begin, I want to include and ask God to direct this message. Loving God, triune glory of Father, Son, and Spirit, we thank you for this day, this opportunity to come together as a congregation and to listen and hear the words that you have directed. And God, we certainly pray that those words come from you, that you would share with each one of us individually what we need to hear and to partake of. And God, we thank you and ask for your blessing and direction in Christ's name. Amen. Walking with the Holy Spirit, we're going to go back in the early portions of the Bible to begin. After the flood, God made a promise that is still true today. From Genesis 8, 21 and 22, this is going to be in the English Standard Version. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said to his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intentions of man's heart is evil from his youth. God understands mankind. He understands and knows what human nature is, and he understands what we will do or what we're capable of doing or not doing. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, night and day shall not cease. What a promise. We're told life will continue. The earth will continue and everything in it. God promised that humanity would keep going, that as long as the earth remains, it will keep going, that he would sustain us no matter what. And that no matter what, I think, probably comes to mind now, much like it has during a wartime. But with the pandemic and the different events, we have a promise that God is not ever going to leave us. He made a covenant with humanity that he would make it do, that he would always take care. It's a promise and it's a commitment to humanity from God. What followed the flood was a long, dysfunctional line of humanness. Self-centered, beautiful, broken, greedy, wild, and the list goes on and on. But God said he would make it do. He would continue to bless and keep life alive. He would see this Adam and Eve story all the way to its end. And if we look back and we call it history, but it is a story of humanity. Let's fast forward through the centuries. God chooses one man and promises him he will be the father of many nations. Through that man, Abraham, he brings the legacy of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and his 11 brothers, which became the 12 tribes of Israel. He brings Israel through slavery, through the desert, and into the promised land. We'll fast forward again. Through the kings and prophets and wars, good and evil, we get to a teenage girl who's given birth to a baby boy in the stable, Jesus. We have to remember that it's all the same story. Have you thought of that in that terms? It is a continuation of the same story, his story, which we call history. This was God's intention from before Eve reached the fruit in the Garden of Eden. He knew what was going to happen. Has mankind or human nature surprised God? Did he not think of all contingencies? Was there a, oh, wow, I didn't see this coming? I don't believe so. A summary of the story that many have grown up with. The law was like humanity's college try, and God had to fix the mess we made. Jesus wasn't plan B of the Israel story. He was the crescendo of it, the culmination, the top. He was the satisfying ending, the resounding affirmation that the story has been kept with his sacrifice. It is finished. The story continues, but we know the ending. The ending has occurred with Jesus. The infection of sin began with Adam. The law located and diagnosed that sin problem. Before the law, there was no label of what sin was. The law gave it a name. Suddenly, these horrible things, lying, murder, adultery, all had names coming from the law. Now they knew what it was and what caused the corruption and death in the world. But the disease was just named. It wasn't cured. Of all the world's sins was placed on Jesus. The law gave it a name, but it didn't cure. Jesus took it all on himself. Jesus did what the law could not do. The law was never meant to cure. It only identified. He was the cure who was always on his way. Jesus is the cure, and he's always aware and on his way with us. Jesus came to give us a new life, not a fixed life, not a recreated life, but a new life in him. Think about that. This life we are living in Jesus is a new life. It's not a repair of the old. We're going to go into a section of the epistles that many call the liberation of the gospel. Melody read it in the Passion Translation. We're going to go through with the English Standard Version. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Think about what that sentence means. That scripture means no condemnation. There's no comma. There's no exception. There's no, oh, except this. It says no condemnation. The fact of no condemnation is the foundation that everything else builds on. There's no separation. We are at one. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. In Christ, Jesus, from the law of sin and death. We have been released from that law of sin and death. We are free in Christ. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. In verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Given a choice, do you want to live under the law, sin and death, or would you like to live with Jesus, who calls you a friend? What do you want in life? Do you want to have sin and death or freedom? Freedom with Jesus talks about what life is when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, all of the aspects of that, that comes from Jesus. That portrays his way of life. In Galatians, you can find the listing of those fruit of the Spirit. Realize, though, that the law of sin and death, still the consequences are here. If you choose to follow or even inadvertently follow, the consequences are not removed. They're still there. But the freedom in Jesus is there for us. What the law was powerless to do, God did. Think about that. It is done. It is taken care of by sending his own son, not through the law, but through Jesus. Everything flows through Jesus. In the likeness of sinful man, he came as a human to replicate what it is to be a human and to exist, but he did not succumb to the law of sin and death. He condemned sin in sinful man. Jesus took all of our sins of every human in the entirety of mankind to himself. And they were put on him, and he took them willingly. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, he, Jesus, made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Everything comes through that. In order that righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. We can live by the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in us. Christ's substitutionary death not only paid the penalty of our sin, it makes possible the new, transformed life we share with Christ. No condemnation. We're free. For those who live, back in verse 5 of Romans 8, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. If you are living in that mindset of flesh, you cannot submit to God. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Their nature, the human nature, determines their mindset. You. And God is saying, I want you to listen, you, individually, in verse 9, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. We get to participate in life with Jesus. How great is that? How awesome to be able to participate in life with Jesus. The declaration of no condemnation, that we in Christ are part of God's family, just as Israel was. We are a continuation of that one long story of redemption that began millennia ago. Do you realize where you're at in the story? Can you tell and relate who you are in the story? Does the story contain you? Do you feel blessed and encouraged because you're part of this story of redemption? Think on this. There's not some sin you can pull or mistake you can make that he doesn't already know about. Even that one that you've got tucked away in the back of the closet underneath a blanket, he knows. Even the one that haunts you from the past because you don't let it go. God already knows about, and that he already took it on, and it was demolished at the cross. We don't have to carry those things around. We don't have to say, God, yeah, accept. There is no exception. It's done. God loves your story. As you look at your life and you think of all of the things you've done, the good, the bad, the fun, the not so much fun, have you ever thought that God loves your story? Your story is a blessing to him. There's no part of your life that God cannot use to redeem you. You are redeemed. You're redeemable because of Jesus and his sacrifice. Do you believe that God can redeem your story? Ask yourself where in the story you are. He doesn't want you to be someone else. We look, and that's one of the big things we see is this sports personality did this, or this actor did that, or this politician did that. That's not you. It's your story. Ask yourself. He wants you to be you, not somebody else. He doesn't want you to be someone else, but you fully and completely and authentically as he made you. You were made by God. And he doesn't want to change you. He wants you to have that new freedom of life in Jesus. In Christ, you are a new creation. In Christ. He cleared the connections to God for you. There are no barriers. There's no, you have to go through somebody else or go through some bells and whistles or steps. You have a clean and pure connection to God. Let his Spirit flow through you today, tomorrow. When those opportunities come to share, do so. Allow him to use you to heal the world around you and to bring you home to who you really are. No walls, no pretense, you directly relating to Jesus. Jesus calls us a child of God and a friend. How awesome. There is no condemnation. That is done. We are clear that the line is connecting straight. A friend of Jesus. Think about the magnitude of what Romans 8 is telling. How important you are to Jesus, who gave his life so that we have life, a new life. What a blessing it is. Thank you for joining us today. We would love to hear from you. We can be reached on our webpage at dcderby.org or on our Facebook page, Grace Communion Derby. We are very grateful for each and every one of you, and we thank God for you, and we pray that you have a safe and a wonderful week.